Hey, folks, in this interview, it's all about the art of six figures.
This is TWIP.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of This Week in Photo. It's all about money on this episode and some other things. As I alluded to with the title, The Art of Six Figures, I'm going to be speaking with Easton Reynolds. He's a guy who he knows a little bit about making money, and he sort of built a system and systematized the idea of getting to that six-figure level using some tools that you and I already use every single day, but he uses them to great effect, one of them being Facebook. And we're going to talk about that and a couple of other things in this episode. So welcome, Easton. Welcome to This Week in Photo, man. I'm excited for this conversation.
Thanks. Yeah, man, I'm excited to be here. This is an awesome day. We finally got good weather. I was freezing forever, but now it's 67, so everything's falling in line.
Everything's falling in line. And you're in New Jersey, right? So 67 yeah. means a lot there.
Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, good, man. I'm really excited to do this interview. You and I talked yesterday a little bit, kind of on our pre-interview, and I'm even more excited now to talk about the art of six figures and what it all means and share that with the This Week in Photo audience. This is cool, and that's not a hyperbole. That's the you know, you guys are solving, and not to bury the lead, but you guys are solving an issue that plagues a lot of photographers, a lot of, you know, wedding photographers and across all genres. And that is that starving artist syndrome. And I call it, you know, you called it the starving artist syndrome. I call it the field of dreams syndrome, where, yes, you know, if you build it, they will come. Not yep. true at all, right? Absolutely. If you build them and lure them and give them something of value, then they might come. So let's start with your origin story a little bit. You know, the Art of Six Figures is the name of the company. What's your involvement with the Art of Six Figures? Who is Easton, and you know, how did all this stuff come about?
Sure. Yeah, so I'll try to keep it brief, but so it starts with my wife, honestly. Like all great stories, it starts with the woman, right? Yep. So she actually started our business, and then I joined her about 2 or 3 years later. And it wasn't until I started to get my feet wet assisting her that I was like, you know what, this is awesome. I was working in corporate America at the time. And, you know, I had always had artistic avenues to, you know, express myself in or whatever, but I couldn't find something that was like a real job and get paid for that avenue, right? So she started the company, and I joined her in 2012. I started assisting her. And then when we got to 2013, it was like February, I actually lost my job in corporate America. And so we had the decision to make, like, are we going to do this full time together? Or is this, you know, or should I go look for another job? Mm-hmm. And so we determined that it was going to be the best choice to go ahead and give it a go, even though we had nowhere near the amount of bookings that we would need, you know, to survive and pay our bills. But we dove in head first and we made it happen. And within 2 years of that, we hit six figures. And so we were like living the life. We were thinking everything is great. But the following year, we took our foot off the gas, right? Which is a tendency that a lot of people do. Once they have some success in their business, then they sort of just coast for a little while. And then all of a sudden we found ourselves in trouble. And we realized, oh my gosh, we only have like 10 weddings on the books. And it was January of that current year. And we were like, okay, bookings probably aren't going to be coming in for this year anymore. So like, what do we do?
Yeah.
And so I remember time and time again, I was sitting in front of my computer, like editing and just like staring at it and wondering like, when are people going to contact me? And it wasn't until that moment where we realized, you know what, we're not doing anything really to put ourselves out there, to let people know that we exist, to give them upfront value, to position ourselves as the thought leader for them, or to, you know, give them upfront value before ever asking for a sale. So we started to like go back to the drawing board and be like, all right, so we're wedding photographers. We photograph weddings every weekend, but a lot of our wedding couples are getting married for the first time. So they don't have the experience. They don't know the nuances of how the day could go, what could go wrong, what could go right, all that stuff, right? And so then we started to educate them and give them like upfront value, stopped blogging just our weddings and started blogging things that were actual informational stuff for them. Like, hey, if you do a receiving line after your ceremony, you are going to eat up 45 minutes of your wedding day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we just started giving those little nuggets, and people started to use them and consume them, and it sort of established a trust for our brand. And then when they got to the position where they were ready to actually make a buying decision, they would reach out, and we wouldn't have to go back and forth on money or any of that, because they were ready, because they were already in what we call our ecosystem of content.
Yeah.
So then from there, things were going great. We put out some courses on lighting and things of that sort under Luray Photography. And then I just realized that, like, I would never really be able to teach fully and have the amount of impact that I really wanted to have, because I'm only an expert at, like, one thing or two things. And to be an expert at, like, a million things is almost impossible. So at that point, I partnered with my current business partner, his name is Bo. And we created the Artist Six Figures, which is essentially a social learning platform for photographers, but it's focused on the business side of photography. So we launched that back in 2017, and then we, you know, created our Facebook ads course and some of the other content that we have, and it's been kind of a crazy journey ever since then.
Yeah, and I want to dive into all that, specifically that Facebook ads course, because that. You know, as you and I discussed, the people have a love-hate relationship with Facebook, right? So it's right. Like, you know, people love to vilify it, and then they get back on it, you know, because, you know, and then from a business standpoint, Facebook ads and online advertising, or, you know, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, those kinds of targeted ad platforms, people don't tend to understand it, you know, myself included, but people don't tend to understand it. So therefore you're afraid of it. Therefore you vilify it, as we, yeah, as humans tend to do. You guys have leaned into it, right? And I want to talk about that a little bit. And you, like, when we were talking before, you were telling me about some unintentional successes that you had, you,
yes,
know, that you, like, you know, the accidental 100,000 error, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that happen? Like, take us through that. How do you accidentally make $100,000?
Yeah. So it happened twice to us. So the first time was on the wedding photography side of the business, where we kind of hit the ground running in those 2 years, and we were booking, you know, 35 weddings for the year, and, you know, working our butts off. And then after those 2 years, we went, man, we're clearing like multiple six figures. This is crazy. But after taking our foot off the gas, we realized we did it on accident. Like, we weren't intentionally doing really anything to have achieved those 2 years of success right out of the gate.
Yeah.
We didn't have any workflows in place. We didn't have systems in place. We weren't putting ourselves out there. We weren't advertising on anything other than the Knot. And one of the things that we noticed was that the Knot made massive changes to the way that they were structuring how advertisers were able to place ads with them. And they were actually giving our leads, like, when a bride would reach out to us, they would also email five other photographers and say, hey, this bride just reached out to this person. You may want to reach out to her as well, because you're similar. Mm-hmm. And so she would be reaching out to, like, maybe five or so photographers, and she gets 25 emails back, and then it's content overwhelm, and she doesn't reply to any of them, right?
Yeah.
So that was the first aspect where we realized, man, we really need to take control of our marketing, because we accidentally hit, you know, multiple six figures in 2 years, but we couldn't really take credit for it, because we didn't do anything that we could then go and tell someone else, hey, this is how we did it. We, yeah, were just, it happened to us.
It, know, wasn't repeatable. Yeah,
exactly. And then the other time was, once we started teaching workshops, on lighting and things of that sort, you know, the energy and time that it takes to put together workshops in person, and then, you know, you put it out there and people are like, yeah, that sounds awesome. And then as soon as you put up, like, the order form to ask for money, it's like crickets, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so what we did is I got sick of doing that over and over and over again. And although we would have people, you know, show up and pay to come, it was just so much work to reproduce it every time and get all the vendors involved and, you know, all the little details. So I recorded a workshop. And then my wife was like, all right, great. So we're recording this, but, like, how are you going to sell it to people? And I was like, I don't know. <You know? laughs> And so from there, I started a Facebook ad, and I actually forgot about it. I just set up my course on, like, an online platform that was sort of all inclusive. There was no funnels or follow-up emails or anything like that. It was just like, here it is. And if you want it, you can click, and then you can go buy it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I forgot about it. And it was running for several months. And I looked at my bank and I was like, oh my goodness, like I've been spending $1,500 a month on this Facebook ad. So it was like 3 months I had spent $4,500. But I also saw that I actually had $26,000 worth of sales that came in.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, wait. So although I spent $4,500, I made over $20,000.
That's a gift. That's a gift. Right. That's like looking in your driveway one morning and seeing a car sitting there.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I'm still waiting for that. My wife will get the new cars. I don't care.
Hey, Tesla. Tesla.
Yes. She knows I'm getting the Tesla Model X in like a year, fully loaded. Like, that's the goal.
So. Nice. Nice. Yeah, I have a Y on my radar, so here we go.
Yeah, I just continue to drive the same Hyundai until it absolutely dies because I've never been a car person, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, if it gets me to work and back, like, this is not something I need to have as being flashy, you know?
Yeah, that's a wealthy mentality. That's,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess from kind of lost my train of thought, so...
Yeah, so building the Facebook ads and sort of having that brand new car sitting in your driveway for no reason that this kind of showed up, but that was that accidental too though, right? So you built the Facebook ad and then it performed well.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
So what did you do after that? Did you go back and dissect and say, okay, I gotta do this again? I want more of that.
Yep. I destroyed a couple email addresses after that. And by that, I mean, I signed up for every ad that came through my Facebook ads feed, no matter what it was for. And I just explored it. Like, I remember one of the first times I clicked on something and then someone was like, you know, download this thing for free or whatever. And I was like, all right, whatever. I clicked on it and then I got that thing for free, but then they wanted me to buy something, but then I didn't buy it. But then I got an email after that saying, hey, you know, if you have this and this problem, then this is the perfect solution, and you know, so forth and so on. And I was like, how are they emailing me like this? Like,
yeah, I didn't enter my
email.
Yeah, yeah,
you know. So I just dove in, man, and I just dissected like what were landing pages saying, why were things placed in certain specific places on pages, or were they not done specifically? Was it just a luck of the draw? You know, why when I visit this page am I now getting another ad that makes sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent about 2 years doing that. And then it wasn't until I started to search this industry, the photography industry, for some real business marketing kind of information. And I felt like in this industry, I sort of reached a cap with the people that were out there that were really, really, really successful and either had courses or something like that to be able to share. A lot of the knowledge that I was getting was like 101, 102 type level. And I was like, man, I need something more, like this is not specific for photographers and no one's really teaching business stuff. It's all just, you know, how to shoot great stuff. So once I started to get purchase some courses and stuff like that from marketers outside of this industry, that's when it started to really connect for me. And I was like, okay, this makes sense now. And so what I did was, I took all that information that I had been just sort of self-learning over the past 2 years, and I recorded a new workshop, and that was our reception lighting workshop, and then I put that out, but this time I actually was very systematic. I knew exactly what I was doing. I had funnel set up and abandoned cart sequences and all that good stuff.
Nice.
And so we spent about $15,000 on ad spend on Facebook, and we made over $100,000 on that course in about 6 months.
Oh, that's crazy. See that?
And it was just... crazy.
That stuff sounds like a dream. Like the and I one of the reasons, and I told you yesterday when we spoke, that I have a finely tuned BS monitor, right? And it's not going off when I talk to you. I know this is real, you know. And what I want to convey in this interview is, I know we're not going to get through all of it, right? And you know, and dissect exactly how you did all that stuff, but and we'll talk about that at the end. But the idea that you can make what some people make in a year, or some people in certain jobs make in 2 years, in 6 months, you know, from your computer, that is the holy grail, man. Like how does that work? Like what's the top line mechanics of getting that working? Were you lucky? Did you find the right tools, or did you like find the right training program that coached you through it? In other words, how do I do it, and how do people watching this interview do it?
Well, so first of all, it took me about 2 years to translate how to use Facebook ads to sell photography courses or educational content, and then how to take that same information and utilize it to actually book clients for photographers, right? Mm-hmm. So I tried a bunch of stuff, failed miserably, spent like over $20,000 trying to take what I had learned in the education space and then use it as a system for our photography business, right? And along that journey, I realized it's very different because, number one, the people that are out there that are ready to buy photography are almost all of them, but they don't know it yet. Right. And when it comes to like weddings, obviously there's a specific time frame because those people are engaged. And so they need to find that photographer. But a lot of times, like in that situation, particularly, they are aware that they now need a photographer because they just got engaged. However, almost every other niche, that doesn't happen. There's not an awakening moment. Right.
Yeah.
And so what we realized is that if I'm a photographer sitting here, right, and maybe I could put out some ads on The Knot or with another magazine or a local publication, at the end of the day, I don't know if those people on the other side of those ads are actually my ideal clients or not, right? Yeah. So first I had to figure out who are the people that I'm trying to reach and where are they congregating, right? So on Facebook, obviously there's, you know, several billion people or something crazy like that. So I was like, that's probably a good place to start just because so many people are on there. So I can actually, I wonder if I can actually target people based on like certain things. So when I started diving into Facebook, I realized you can target people that like chocolate chip cookies or like granola bars. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you sure as hell can target, you know, somebody that just recently got engaged and set their status that way, or somebody that may be interested in family photography, or someone that may be interested in boudoir. But you can't just be like, hey, get 20% off my photography service, because no one cares. And the reason is that no one cares is because they have never heard of you, right? And it's a Facebook ad. So they see it and they're like, keep scrolling, right? Mm-hmm. But what if that changed and it wasn't, hey, buy something from me right away. It was, hey, here's a free wedding planning guide. We shoot weddings, you know, every weekend, all year long. And we've shot over 200 weddings. And, you know, you're probably getting married for the first time. So here's some great tips. Here's some vendors that we recommend that will give you this type of experience or whatever it may be. And so we started doing that. And then we actually literally got up out of our seat in our studio, went outside and started to talk with other vendors in the space and said, hey, can we partner together? Like, I'm not a dress expert, but right down the street from my studio is a bridal store. Mm-hmm. So I went in there and I said, hey, would you guys mind guest blogging for me, like 300 words or less? Just some, you know, great tips, top three tips that a bride should know when considering her wedding dress or when she's looking for her wedding dress. And we started doing that with a bunch of different vendors. And before you know it, the SEO and organic aspect of things started to take off. And then we were able to use all of that great content as ads, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so we started to give all that upfront value to people, and it created brand trust. And then within that, we break down pain points, frustrations, and hesitations. So some of those things, like for instance, with boudoir is something that if you're a woman that is considering having that done, there's a lot of, you know, maybe self-esteem things that you maybe want to lose 20 pounds first, or all these excuses that they tell themselves as to why they won't want to do it right now. Right.
Yeah.
But we can actually reframe those wrong mindsets and let them know that they are actually amazing just the way they are. And here's 10 other women that look just like a normal woman, right? And they look amazing and they felt super confident afterwards and all these different things, right? And then having those past clients' video testimonials is massive. Like the impact that you can have with a video ad, first of all, it's way cheaper than any other type of ad, but also it gives them that screen time, that FaceTime with you. They can actually connect with you, see you, and then that does something in people's subconscious that's different than just seeing a stagnant image. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. Yeah. And that's the idea of getting something off the top, because we're all inundated, I think, with social media and buy now, get this, you know, grab this, get, you know, people want, it's almost becoming numbing, you know, and as you know, in marketing, they call it ad blindness when when you see a banner and you don't even see the banner anymore on the top of a website because they're always there and you know you don't, you dismiss it because you know you don't want that thing. But if you, like what you guys are suggesting, if you replace that with something of value, then the whole equation changes. And it sounds like it changed for you guys. So now is it, is that whole thing repeatable? You know, everything you've built, like, are you able to build a sustained, predictable and repeatable income using all these techniques?
Oh yeah. I mean, for us, it changed the game personally, for the education side, as well as the photography side for booking clients. But once we launched our course, it took me a while to continue to tweak it and continue to, you know, figure out like, okay, I think this is good. Let me get some people in here beta testing it. And they're going to give me feedback and then they'll tell me it's awful and then I'll change it again. And I did that for like a year. But once we got it down, once we got it on a fundamental level, what needs to happen before you ever run an ad, what needs to happen after an ad is clicked, those are the two things no one ever thinks about, right? But once you get that down, and then once we were able to communicate that effectively to photographers, we added over 1,000 photographers to our course last year alone. And we have, every week there's somebody new that launches another ad. This past week, we had somebody that launched her ad and no, I'm sorry. It was in January. She is still shooting all the, bookings that she got just from that one shoot. And as of right now, she's already made $36,000. She spent about $250 on her ad spend. She still has 30 more sessions booked and one other sales session. I think she's actually doing tonight. So all said and done, once she gets done shooting all of them, if they continue to stick to the same averages that she's been making for the first few, she'll probably hit $80,000 off of $250 ad spend.
That's crazy. See that, and that's partially why this is so exciting to me, because on the one hand, when you I talk to a lot of photographers, right? You know, both professional and everything down from there. And one of the main questions/concerns is, once I build my business and I put my shingle out there, you know, I have my website, is it going to be like, you know, I decorated my house for a party and no one's there, you know, it's right. Crickets. How do you get people in the door? And then some people will tell you, and you can address this, some people will tell you, well, you just got to build up a following on social media and you get a million people, then you can sell them stuff. And then other people will say, yeah, you got to do that. But you also have to have an email list, and then you can email the list, and then a certain percentage of that email list will convert to customers or some hybrid in between. You're presenting the third level, which is buy your traffic and convert that traffic into paying clients and buy it targeted. So you're paying for people that want the thing, that are looking for what you have to offer. Is that fair? Is that how it works?
Pretty much. Like, so most people are okay with letting the lead flow happen from wherever else, and they're hoping that the traffic eventually lands on their website, right? Mm-hmm. So whether you're paying The Knot or Wedding Wire or paying a blog like Style Me Pretty or something like that, you don't get to control the entire experience that your customer goes through, or your potential customer goes through, right? When we're running these ads, first of all, it's an on-demand thing. So if I don't have any business this month, I just run an ad. And once my system is in place, you can kind of turn on and turn off ads accordingly. And the ones that are doing well, they gain what's called social proof. So as an ad's running, you'll have, you know, likes and comments and shares and all that kind of stuff happening and views. And those statistics stay with that. And so the stronger or the more likes, comments and shares that an ad gets, Facebook is like, oh, well, this is obviously relevant based on the targeting that you said, hey, I want this ad to be shown to these people because they'll be interested. They actually are interested. And so first of all, it's cheaper for you to run this ad now. And second of all, people are actually going to click through it, right?
Yeah.
So it's a repeatable like system that can just go on and go on once it's set up. But
I mean, that's, you know, like, why wouldn't you do that? That's like, it reminds me, I live in an area where there's windmills, right? So, and I was talking to someone once about they can predict based on weather patterns and, you know, whatever factors, how much that windmill is going to generate, how much revenue,
right?
Electricity, which equates to money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they build one, they know how much it costs to build one, and they put it there, and they know once they build it and leave it there, you know, notwithstanding some maintenance fees, that thing is going to generate a certain amount of money. You're talking about the same thing, but in the internet world, well, once you build this machine, you can just say, you know what, I'm going to build another one and put it right there and increase my revenue by N percent. That's crazy. Like,
but make no mistake, it is the most work you probably will have ever done on the business side. It's not manual labor, right? It's not like shooting out in the field. It's none of that, but it is a lot of brain work and technical stuff that, like, that's why we made the course, to sort of baby step people through it and get them their first successful launched ad. Like, no one's allowed to launch an ad after they buy our course until they actually post all of the different components of the ad in our group. And either myself or one of our coaches will review it. So we're very serious about it, because people can lose money very quickly. Mm-hmm. If the system's not set up right, like, it's not just about, hey, how do I run Facebook ads? Like, the Facebook ad part is the easiest part of our entire system. The hard part is, what type of valuable content do I have created right now that I could actually send my clients? And most of the time, the answer is nothing.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
We have to go through and we have to create those things, because when someone opts in for your free wedding planning guide, well, guess what? Now we want to email them an email every few days or once a week or something like that. Right. And those emails aren't just like, hey, buy this. It's a video of a past client talking about their experience of working with you, or another link to a blog post that gives them another aspect of something that is helpful to them. Right. Yeah. So we're always nurturing these leads, but on demand, when we pay for these clients, we get to control that entire process. So not only do we control when they click or where they click, but then once they click, where are we sending them? Right. Mm-hmm. Most people, when they're advertising, they send people to the homepage of their website.
Right.
And it's the biggest mistake that you can do, because there's too much information there and too many buttons for them to click, especially when it comes to wedding photographers. Your target client now is millennials, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. 24 to 35 year olds, and they have no attention spans. They're slightly entitled, and they only purchase for the experience and the greater good. And what I mean by that is, like, if you opened up two burger shops right next to each other, right, and the one burger shop on the right had a greeter, and as soon as you walked in, they told you where the food came from that week, that was locally sourced from farms in the area, and also informed you that 10% of your purchase today was actually going to go back to those local farms, right?
Yeah.
Millennials will never buy the burger next door, even if that burger is $10 more, because they're helping the community with their purchase and the experience of walking into that store and knowing the amount of time, energy, and effort that that business had to take and go through to be able to position themselves to sell local food. Mm-hmm. They appreciate that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So knowing that, with that example, if we can pivot that to photographers, we've all been taught for years that our website just needs to be a bunch of pictures. And so people come to our website and then they just leave, because there's literally no information on most photographers' websites. Like, I spend like almost all day on Tuesdays and Thursdays coaching our members, and we jump on Zoom calls just like similar to what we're doing now. And then I'll analyze their website and whatnot and be like, look, if you want this system to work for you, you need to do two things. People come to your website because they're here for, what is the experience of working with you going to be like, and why is it going to be different than the thousands of other photographers that I have the option of choosing, and how much is this going to cost me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And instead of that, they get to our website and they just see a portfolio. We hide our prices to make them call us. And the hope is that we can get them on the phone and close them. But most of us as photographers are terrible as salespeople and hate getting on the phone.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like an oxymoron. So, but the fact of the matter is, when they come to your website, they need to see one thing and one thing only when it's coming from an ad. And that is, whatever they clicked on the ad for, they want to just see that. And if they see the portfolio and the about us section and all that other stuff at the top of your website, they're going to click it and get distracted. And then they're going to get a text message or a Facebook message or a game notification or God knows what else, and be gone, even though they meant to actually finish what they had started by clicking and signing up for whatever it is you were offering.
Yeah.
But you lost their attention because there was too much else going on.
Or worse yet, they'll feel like you did a bait and switch on them. It's like, hey, I clicked on this thing in the ad and you just wanted to get me to your website. Now you're going to make me hunt for that thing that I looked for just to get more clicks out of me. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Isa, I want to also ask, throw another question out there. And I think this is another fear that people, photographers in general, specifically have, and that's if I do dive into this Facebook ad thing, I'm gonna lose my shirt, much like you did, you know, when you have the accidental $100,000 year there. So and this is, again, this is all coming from me, right? Part of the fear that I have is I don't know enough about Facebook, and it's changing, and I'm afraid. And if I go in there and I plunk my credit card down in there and I say I want to run ads, which I don't know what to run, you know, like you said, I would probably have just pointed to the front of my website. The fear is I'm going to wake up and say, you've spent $100,000.
Yes. You bought Mark Zuckerberg 25 new t-shirts.
Exactly. Exactly. Or Mark just bought his wife a Tesla on your back, you know.
Right.
So what, how do you, so I'm assuming that you guys help fix that and allay those fears of overspending. You know, I want precise spending. I want to know if I'm spending a dollar here, I'm going to get $5 back. You know, do you guys get down to that level of minutia?
Oh, yeah. So within the course, you don't even get to the Facebook part for quite a while.
Yeah.
And the reason is because you have to have, just like anything else, you have to have a foundation built, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So you build that foundation, and then the course walks you through step by step everything that needs to happen to be able to launch the ad itself, where we're sending them, what happens once they click, the entire process, and all of the numbers that you should expect as far as, you know, what should it cost me per click, or what interest should I use if I'm a boudoir photographer or family photographer or wedding photographer? All of those things are already figured out for you and loaded into the course. We have like cheat sheets and stuff like that, so people can print them out and have them there sitting by them while they're like building their ad. But I think the biggest difference is that every single person that buys our course, we get on the phone with, like before they ever get in.
Nice.
And we talk about their business and we figure out what they are trying to accomplish with Facebook ads. And then we give them sort of more of a customized plan to focus on as far as the content in the course. Then when they are about to launch, they have to get it approved first. And if things don't look right, or something's broken, or the funnel doesn't work, or pages aren't connected, or God knows what else, right? We'll jump on another Zoom call and make sure that it's successful. Like, we're not in this just to be like, hey, buy this course and then good luck figuring it out. We know that this is Facebook and it's complicated, and people that can get tech overwhelmed really quickly and all that. So we've broken it down to the very foundational level. And then we have an entire team of coaches and whatnot that are living in the group, the Facebook group for our members. No question gets unanswered. You know, we have like, we ask for like 24 hours to respond, or,
yeah,
you know, we have lives and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that, you know, when you put your faith in us to that Facebook ads can work for you and your photography business, we are going to deliver on that. And we're going to deliver that on that at all costs, because you bought something and we told you it was one way. And if it isn't, then that's false, right?
Yeah, it almost sounds like training and consulting at the same time, like a training and consultancy, you know. To draw an analogy, and tell me if this is accurate or not, it sounds like Home Depot, right? It sounds like, you know, if you look at Home Depot as the world of online education as it applies to making money online or selling your businesses or marketing your photography business, sure, there's a bunch of stuff out there on YouTube. There's all these different educational resources you can go to. There's PDFs up the wazoo. There's just websites. There's stuff everywhere. Just like in Home Depot, you go in there, you can build an entire house from what's in Home Depot right now.
Right.
You can go in there and build it, but it sounds like what you guys are doing is that you don't want to build a house, you know? Oh, you want to build a house? Okay, let's build a house. I'm going to show you, go buy that lumber, go buy those nails. That's the drywall you need over there. Get that, get these 15 tools, not those, get these 15 tools, and now get on the phone with me. I'm going to show you how to get started building your house. Is that fair? Is that a good analogy of how you guys are doing it?
Essentially, and we felt like that was the only way to do it. And the reason is, because when I first started in photography, I went to conferences and, you know, I probably spent money that I shouldn't have spent to go. And it was probably money that I needed to spend on like buying my client's album and getting it shipped to them, right?
Yeah.
But I went because I was looking up to people and I felt that, you know, going, I would be able to learn a lot, and then I'd be able to come back home and implement those things, make that money back and much more, and everything would be fine. And what I realized is that a lot of people in this industry are teaching what works for them, And just because it worked for them, they then create a course out of it and then sell it to people. And then people are like, yo, this doesn't work. And it's like, well, that's because you built a course that only works in a very specific region of the world. And that is where you live. You didn't do any testing to see if it actually works anywhere else. And I think that what I realized from that now, you know, 8-10 years later is that I started educating and I was like, you know what? I don't want to put people in that same position that I felt like I was in. Like, if I'm going to pay you money, you better teach me something that's not a 101 level course, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we go to great effort when it comes to our courses. So we have, the Artist Six Figures in general, we go out and we find other photographers in the industry that are making six figures. They actually have to prove that to us. And then from there, if they have like a course already existing or content for a course that they'd love to record, we partner with them, bring them onto our team. We record and produce the whole course for them, and then they come on and help and run the Facebook group specific for their course. And then from there, once we are getting ready to launch their course, we do a beta testing, and we're very specific about how we do that. It starts with 25 photographers in 25 different states in the U.S., and we launch with that, and we get feedback from all those people and update the course and make adjustments. And then once at least 3/4 of those people have seen the results that we claimed could happen, then we feel comfortable launching it in that country. But then we'll do the same process in Canada and Australia and Europe as well. Wow. So we don't mess around. Basically, everyone gets a phone call onboarding to get in. We don't leave you left, you know, to figure out what you just bought and if it even makes sense for you. And we also take all of our courses, and let's say we teach, okay, well, you need to be using landing pages in our Facebook ads course, right? Well, we partner with a vendor that gives you 4 free months of landing pages and email, which is sticky folios and sticky email. Nice. So you don't have to go find out how to do certain aspects or go find software to buy or whatever. You're equipped to do it right away. Same thing with our Photographer's Guide to Anti-Selling course. We know that people, you know, that are doing IPS either hate it or love it, right? And most of the objections or hesitations when it comes to doing IPS is, what products do I sell? How much do I sell them for? And God forbid that I order a sample online and I do it wrong, and now I have to eat the cost of that when I really couldn't afford to do it, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so we went out and we found all the best products for the lowest cost to the photographer. We found software company that you can use, all that stuff. So you get like 2 free months of NView, all of the pricing and products of the everything that you're going to be selling is already preloaded into it. You get a $250 album credit with Album Epica and a 16x24 metal print so that you have your samples, you know?
Oh, that's so cool.
There's no real courses that are going to that length out there, or even educators that are trying to not just teach you something, but also equip you. You know?
Yeah, it sounds like you guys are bringing everything to the table except the photography, right? So the photographer, you guys can't. I mean, you could. I mean, you could add how to shoot onto this,
right?
But the photographer presumably has some skill at shooting and understands how to take photos and shoot a wedding or shoot a portrait. And then from that point forward, you guys have built an infrastructure that teaches them everything else that they need to know, which is a dream, because I know a lot of people in the industry, you know, blood, sweat, tears, fingernails and DNA spend all that stuff figuring it out, trying to get to, you know, what you guys are sort of spoon feeding people. So what is the course, if people want to get into the course, it's theartofsixfigures.com, right? Or take me through that process.
Yeah, if you want to grab the course, so we just recently started to open it up, like ongoing. Before it was, we would only let a certain amount of people in a month. That way our team could have the amount of time we needed to make sure that everybody was successful and got situated and we were good and before we actually opened it up for more people. But now we're actually in a rebranding phase right now. The website should be up by the time people see this.
Cool.
But the new website is sort of repositioning everything, because when we first launched this, it was obviously just like one or two courses. It was just myself and my business partner. But now that we've built more of a team and we brought more other educators onto our team and started to record other courses, now it's more like a talent agency where we're going out and finding photographers that want to be a part of something like this, where it's not just like a creative live situation where you go and you teach and then that's sort of it after that one-off course. This is more like you're part of our family. We help get the speakers speaking, you know, gigs at WPPI, things of that sort. But they don't just like leave the content on its own. Like once you buy the course, you're like having the person that's answering your questions is the course creator, you know?
Yeah.
So they're very, very different approach, I guess.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a different approach, but it's a refreshing approach to how you guys are doing this. I'm excited, man. So, I'm going to put you on the spot here, if that's okay. So I just started, many people that follow This Week in Photo and the TWIP Pro community and all those, the things that I manage in the TWIP universe, they know that one of the components that I just added was this webinar component, where I'm doing weekly webinars with people like yourself that have something like not just, you know, hey, I'm just going to teach you what an f-stop and shutter speed is. It's more of this. These are substantive things that you can do to improve your quality of life and business as a photographer. So right. I'd love it if you're up for it. Would you like to do a webinar where you can come on and hopefully dive a little bit deeper into this topic?
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, because that way it'd be Q&A.
That's what I live for, man.
yeah, because then we can do a Q&A and people can ask you questions about it. I tried to ask good questions, but you know, I'm only one guy. So, you know, my audience is smarter than I am, so they can come in and ask questions that are related directly to the things they do. And a lot of them are wedding photographers, so they can, you know, they can ping you. Would you be up for that?
No, that would be awesome. Absolutely. And we'll put together some great content specifically for your audience so that they're not seeing like some content that doesn't make any sense or is not, you know, relatable to the niches that they're photographing.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, we'll get that set up. I want to hopefully do it as soon as possible, so we'll try to do it this coming week if we can. Cool. We're recording this. It is Friday, the 15th of March, so we'll do it this coming week. But keep an eye on This Week in Photo. I will put an announcement likely out on this channel. You're probably watching the video on our YouTube channel, but it'll also go out in the podcast feed as well, just to so that no one misses this. If you're on the TWIP email list, you'll get a notification, as well as in the TWIP Pro community, you'll get a notification, and obviously on our social presences. So I want to help get the word out about this. I'm excited about it, if you can't tell, because, you know, A, like your shirt says, I hate making money, said no one.
Right? Yes, this is my favorite.
I love that.
Which way do I go?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's important, because from this we all love taking photographs, right? That's why we do what we do. And the people that just like taking photos for the fun of taking photos, that's awesome. You can do that forever, right? But the people that love taking photos but also then want to maybe eat every now and then, you know, and have the photography fuel that part of their lives, this part is critical. You know, and you know, bravo to you guys for bundling it all up in a nice bow for people that don't have the time to scour Home Depot, you know, looking for all the bits and pieces and making mistakes and losing money. They could just sort of hit the ground running and then have you guys in their corner helping them out as they get their businesses launched. So,
yeah.
So this is good. Cool, man. All right. So any final thoughts you want to leave with the audience before we take off?
I would just say, like, the moment that you believe that something doesn't work, especially without trying it, or that something changed and now it's no longer valid, you're selling yourself short. And when it's, whether it's Facebook ads or whether it's you feel that you've achieved wherever you need to be, technically speaking, with your shooting, like, you've never arrived. And the moment you believe you have arrived is always the moment that you fall the hardest. And I am speaking from experience, and I'm actually speaking from experience over and over again, where I always make the same mistakes regardless. Yeah. And sometimes I don't learn, right? But just make sure that you don't write anything off. And one of the biggest questions I always get is, hey, Easton, did you see what happened in the news with Facebook, you know, this week? And I'm like, yes, it's every week. Mm-hmm. But the difference is that instead of saying, ah, now it doesn't work, we fix it, right?
Yeah.
And so people are like, hey, did you just see this? Facebook's going to do that. Yeah, we adapt. We update the course 3 to 4 times a year. Every time there's major changes, we update it so it's always relevant. Like, it's fine, you know. And then honestly, one day Facebook won't be fine, right? But there'll be a new Facebook or a new Facebook replacement for that. And our system that we teach is not Facebook ads. It's called direct response marketing, and it works on any platform. So, you know, always stay relevant and make sure that you never limit yourself just because, you know, whatever was is no longer. That doesn't mean that it's over, you know?
Yep. I love it. I love it. Words to end this on, words to live by. And if you're watching this in the future, this webinar, hopefully this webinar will be up, you know, longing to the future this interview will be up. And the webinar, if you're watching this anytime after next week, will have hopefully already been recorded. And in the description, you'll find a link to it. So you can go ahead and check it out. So this is past me looking out for future me right now.
Right.
You know, that's assuming the world is still here when we record that webinar.
All right,
Easton, man, thanks a lot for this. I appreciate it. It's been a fantastic.
I really appreciate it.
Fantastic interview. I know it's what is it? It's Miller time in New Jersey.
Yes.
Right now. It's time for you to get out of there and go enjoy your weekend, right?
Yes.
All right, man.
Can't wait.
All right, man. Take care. Thanks a lot.
All right, I'll see you.
This is Twitter.